right now. Motherfucker, let's go.
Yeah. What can make a nigga wanna go and get it? Said he wanna beamer with the subs in it. Said he grew up in a house and it was love missing. Said he grew up in the city, keep his gun with him. Young nigga,
let's go.
Young nigga. And he don't need a reason, need a young nigga. And y'all want your daughter and your sons with him.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in this evening. We're ready to chop up good game, as we always do. What we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Well, not too quick, because I got a lot of commercials to play. But after I get through with the commercials, we'll be right back on Tariq Radio to chop up some game with the family, so don't you move a muscle.
Learn the truth about the game by joining dating and life coach Mr. Locario and Miles Cunningham live in New York City on Saturday, April 14th at the NYC Seminar and Conference Center for the Truth About the Game seminar. In this seminar, Mr. Locario will teach you exactly what you need to know to be successful with women. Space is extremely limited, so purchase your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Every place that African men were dropped off during the Middle Passage, they brought with them martial culture, martial aesthetic, and martial posture, born in Africa. To Brazil, they brought capoeira. To Jamaica, la ja. To the West Indies, calinda and broma. To Venezuela. What is known about the Afro-American contribution? What did the warriors from Africa bring to the United States? Well, I can tell you, in one word, a lot. Find out more about the history of the Afro-American contribution to martial arts in the film Urban Dragons, a documentary available for instant download that's paired with some amazing bonuses detailing some of the most deadly men that this world has ever seen, using their skill to empower and defend their communities. Experience the sense of empowerment that comes with reconnecting with the African martial aesthetic. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com and tap into a missing piece of us that will make us so much better in so many ways. Visit www.urbandragonsfilm.com.
Listen up, family. Are you looking for some amazing beats for your next project? Then check out my man at DesmondABeats.com. He has hip-hop, R&B, pop tracks, everything you need to have a dope song. Go to DesmondABeats.com right now because he's running a limited time deal on beats and you don't want to miss out on this. He also has a song mixing and mastering service so you can get that crisp, tight sound. So again, go to DesmondABeats.com. Yo, what's up, family? Go out right now and get the brand new single from Poetry entitled Get Right. Now, Get Right is available right now on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, and all digital platforms. Follow Poetry at Poetry the God on Instagram right now. All songs are mixed and mastered by my people over at LegendaryMix.com. So be sure to get the single Get Right right now, available right now. What's up, family? Are you struggling to get your business off the ground? In today's digital economy, anyone can start a company from home, but only a few will know how to launch their brand online and actually make it successful. If you want to uncover the same knowledge that 6, 7, or even 8-figure earners know how to use and generate, then go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq and get the free ebook, The 6 Secret Steps to a Money-Making Website. Inside, you'll learn the 6 essential elements you must know to include on your site to start getting sales. So again, go to bigmoneysites.com/Tariq.
Yeah, opiras.com, that's the website. A lifestyle way more than a name brand. Plenty of apparel, yeah, they changing the game, man. To make you fresh, that was part of the game plan. And they talking financial independence. Opiras even talking health and wellness. You need to check this if you want to elevate. Opiras is the real deal, better get it straight. Ay, yeah, they got what you like, so ahead of the rest. So visit the website, that's OPARAS. Yeah, that's OPARAS, Opiras.
out your window and see people enjoying a beautiful day. But you can't because you need to wait for hours at the tax office to do your taxes. Those days are over. Let Hoosier Tax Man help you. We do tax preparation, individual and business. And best of all, you don't have to leave home. With our virtual tax prep service, submit your documents to our secure and encrypted portal. We use the same level of security your bank uses for online banking. We are licensed and bonded, and you'll get the maximum refund guarantee. Call us at 1-800-951-9591. 1-800-951-9591. Or visit us at whosyourtaxman.com.
Hey, fam. This is T, co-host of the mind-blowing podcast, Champagne Sharks. Join me and co-host D. Mills and Mike as we use current events, pop culture, and history to break down the psychology and unseen daily workings of white supremacy. We guarantee you'll never look at the world around you the same way again after just one listen. Just Google Champagne Sharks to find the show. And for my Black Panther movie peeps to fuck with Team Killmonger, check out our Killmonger Was Right and Killmonger Versus Everybody shirts over at KillmongerWasRight.com.
Do you have bad credit? Have your credit applications been rejected due to unemployment, slow pays, or even identity theft? We can help. The Credit Pro specializes in removing bad credit history from credit reports. You only pay when credit items are actually deleted from your report. If you can't get a car loan, can't get a mortgage, or can't get a credit card, our team of certified FICO professionals can repair your credit. Even if you've been the victim of identity theft or have previously declared bankruptcy, we can help. Call and schedule a free evaluation to start repairing your credit. We specialize in removing bad credit items. You don't pay until items are removed. Call 844-631-4137 and schedule your evaluation today. The call is free and the evaluation is free. Call us today and start putting your credit problems behind you.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have all the lovely people tuning in this wonderful evening. I hope you guys have your 1804 DVDs from 1804movie.com, The Hidden History of Haiti. Very good film. If you have not seen it, a lot of people love the film 1804. Real good game in that movie. Also, HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, I know all you got your Hidden Colors DVD, so I shouldn't even have to ask. Shout out to everybody for bumping my group single, Mink Slide. That's my group. We put a video out for our single, It's Time. People love the video. Even my haters had to give it up. I've had some of my haters hit me up and say, hey, man, I wanted to hate on you, but that shit is hot. You can't deny the funk and the hotness of the single, It's Time. And everybody listening, I want you to go to iTunes tomorrow and get the pre-order. You can pre-order the single on iTunes tomorrow. I want everybody listening. It's only a dollar. So all my listeners, all the thousands and thousands of you, y'all put that dollar up on iTunes and pre-order the single It's Time tomorrow. The official release is going to be March 20th, but it goes on pre-sale tomorrow. tomorrow on iTunes. So I want all my people to get that, because we're going to have to start taking control of our music. And this is what we're going to talk about on today's show. And also, family, don't forget the Ism Radio Reality Travel Show. That's still happening. We got the Indiegogo page for that. So go to Indiegogo, type in Ism Radio, and be a part of the Ism Radio Reality Travel Show with me and my lovely co-host, Ms. Bree and Ms. Layla. We're going to be traveling around the country showcasing black businesses, ladies and gentlemen. But today's show, I want to talk about the concept of culture vultures. My man Dame Dash, shout out to Dame Dash and shout out to Kenyatta. They got a book out right now called Culture Vultures. I want you guys to go to Amazon and get that. I know I'm plugging a lot of stuff here, but this is a lot of information we need. But Dame and Kenyatta, they got a book called Culture Vultures, and they're talking about people who leech off cultures that we create. And this is something that we're going to have to put a clamp down on, family. We've gotten soft as far as people coming in, leeching off of us, capitalizing off of us, and not only leeching and capitalizing off of us, disrespecting us in the process. This is something that we as a culture, as a community, we're going to have to start shutting down. We're going to have to start checking people on this bullshit. There's this rapper that I just heard of recently, Lil Xan. And shout out to everybody hitting that super chat in the YouTube chat room, by the way. But there's this white rapper named Lil Xan. I never heard of him, but apparently he has an audience. And I'm thinking, and Xan is spelled X-A-N. I'm thinking it's short for Little Xanax. And that's another thing. On a side note, you notice you got a lot of these white rappers that's popping up. These white little druggies. Their whole thing is, you know, popping pills and that type of thing. And we've kind of let that seep into the culture like it's cool. Let me holler at black folks as far as that. Whatever those in the dominant society do, we start latching on to it. If you look at hip-hop in the 80s, it cleaned itself up a little bit as far as co-signing drug use. Because in the 70s, when hip-hop first got started, a lot of them were co-signing the drug game, drug use, because it was a trendy upscale thing in New York to do. If you look at a lot of the early rappers, they had names like, well, one of the first MCs is Coke LaRock. That was my man Kool Herc's MC. And that was a reference to cocaine. Even Curtis Blow, his name was a reference to cocaine. A lot of rappers and DJs had the name Ski, Kool Rock Ski, Star Ski, Love Buck. Ski was a hip-hop term for snow, which was cocaine. That's what they call cocaine, snow. And a lot of people back then, because the dominant society made cocaine use seem cool and hip, especially in New York in the 70s. We're talking about that Studio 54 era where you were seen, you looked high class if you were, you know, snorting cocaine. So that was kind of the thing to do and the thing to rap about. They would rap about it in freestyles. But in the 80s kind of cleaned that up a little bit. In the 80s, the hip-hop game became very anti-drug. If you listen to a lot of records from the 1980s, you know, Self-Destruction and others, Crack Killed Applejack, for those who remember that. That's an old one. It's kind of a corny one, but it was a song called Crack Killed Applejack. Real corny, but y'all Google that one. So there was a few anti-rap songs. I think Kool Moe Dee had an anti-rap song. An anti-drug song. Ice-T had anti-drug songs. Somebody in the chat room said they thought Curtis Blow was his real name. No, his name is not Curtis Blow. That's not his real name. But the crack game, people talked down on that in the 80s. As far as sales and use, the hip-hop kind of took responsibility on its own and spoke out against the drug game. Now, in the 90s, people embraced being drug users. I mean, drug dealers. In the 90s, that's when the drug dealer became deified in the hip-hop game. That's in the 90s. A lot of cats were rapping about trapping and all this stuff. Now, in the 2000s, up until now, the game has deteriorated to the point where people are just rapping about being little dirty, strung-out addicts. That's the shit to rap about, being little drug addicts now. That shit is mad corny. Niggas are rapping about being little high drug addicts, popping this and Percocet this, and niggas are rapping about being little drug, not even classy drug addicts. I can understand in the 70s, it's like, hey, I get some cocaine to go to New Studio 54. I get cocaine, everybody, you know. That was, you know, you're trying to be fly. You know, you're trying to be fly, but now it's not even fly. Like, look, I'm drinking some lean out of a paper cup, and I'm popping some Percocet. You know, that shit is dusty. But you got a lot of these little dusty little white rappers doing it, so we think it's cool, and we embrace that. So we got these little vultures that have infiltrated the game that we've allowed to. Now, this little Zan dude, people were getting on him on Twitter because he said something disrespectful about Tupac. He was like, somebody asked him a question about Tupac, and he said that Tupac was boring. So he made it a point to disrespect Tupac. Now, Tupac is an icon in the hip-hop game, and people felt a certain way about it. But don't feel a certain way, because y'all been allowing that type of disrespect to go on with this new generation. Because what he's doing, and that's not new. That's nothing new for these culture vultures from other cultures to come in and disrespect black society and things that we've created. They've always done that, especially in the hip hop game. These white rappers, they've always tried to disrespect. The only difference is, family, is our reaction to them. See, now the reaction to these little disrespectful bastards, too many of this generation, y'all give them a pass, which enables them to do that even more. See, they would try to do that sucker shit back in the day, and they got checked very hard. I talked about this recently. People like MC Search, he tried to get real comfortable and disrespectful, and it got to the point where he couldn't come out to LA and be safe. You understand? Vanilla Ice tried to get a little fly, and we all heard the story about him getting hung out of a window, and his pockets got padded. That's always been a part of the game. You check these little disrespectful vultures and let them know what the real deal is. People would shut that stuff down. And understand, not even just the white rappers, even some of the nigga nerds. Understand, I'm going to talk about nigga nerds in depth a little later, but even the nigga nerds, and understand, many nigga nerds are extensions of white supremacists, their damn selves, because these are people who couldn't really fit into black society. They really have no respect for the culture themselves, but they want to capitalize off of it. So they show disrespect. We got to watch these nigga nerds. These nigga nerds are coon by default. You understand? A lot of these little nigga nerds are coons by default. They have no respect for the culture. But back in the day, before the internet, see, the thing is, you couldn't hide on the internet back in the day. If you wanted to make your presence known, you had to show up physically somewhere. And that goes back to a story, PM Dawn. If you're old enough to remember, there's a group called PM Dawn. There was a group. Now, from what I understand, the lead rapper of the group died. His name was Prince B. And God rest the dead. I don't mean to disrespect anybody who has died, but there's an infamous story. And, you know, KRS-One, that's my dude. He gave me a whole bunch of other details of the story. And this is a story that was very popular in hip-hop folklore, where PM Dawn, they were this herbal tea type of group. They had flowers and they want some hippie shit. It was real, you know, it was for a crossover audience. It was these two black dudes. One was a big fat dude, and I think it was his brother, whatever, who was the DJ. And they were on some herbal tea hippie shit. They would come on stage with flowers and butterflies and shit. It was real corny, but they had a hit single because they sampled a track by a group called Spandau Ballet. The song was True, and it was a catchy little pop tune. And they had a little hit on their hands, an international hit, and they started to feel themselves because they had an international rap hit. And they did an interview, and they made the mistake of dissing KRS-One. They thought, okay, shit, we can talk slick about Chris and KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions. They said something like, he's supposed to be a teacher, but what is he teaching? Some real slick shit. And they thought, hell, we nigger nerds, so we get a pass because we're nigger nerds. And see, that's the mistake that a lot of nigger nerds make. Well, that's the mistake they made back then. Nigger nerds said, okay, well, I'm a nigger nerd, so I ain't street, so I can say whatever without any repercussions. You understand? And that's the thing. People like, they weren't supposed to be taken as gangster. And that's the thing. A lot of folks think, well, since I'm not on no gangster shit, I can say whatever without repercussions. And life don't work like that. It didn't work like that then. Now you got a bunch of nigga nerds on the internet. But the thing is, they make that little slick comment and wasn't no internet back then to hide behind. So when a magazine came out and you said something slick, you couldn't hide nowhere. So the thing is, they went and did a show in New York. And KRS-One and some cats from the Bronx went up in there. When them dudes, they were live on stage performing. KRS-One went all up in there while they're live on stage and literally threw dude off the stage. I don't mean said, hey, go get off the stage. I mean, they physically picked this motherfucker up and threw him off the stage and then whooped the DJ's ass, took the mic, and then started performing their own shit. The most gangsterish shit ever. This was before camera phones and all that old bullshit, but gangster shit. And that's just what it was. It wasn't no, hey, we're going to go tell on you. No, that's just what it was. If there was footage of that, it'd be worth $1 million right now. There's no footage of that, but they literally picked this motherfucker up and threw him off the stage. And then whooped the DJ's ass. You dig? Some of y'all old enough to remember that story about them, but that's what it was back then. You couldn't say nothing greasy about somebody and then walk around like it was cool. That's why you watch what you say. You had to be careful about your words. You couldn't just disrespect cats like that and then try to move around in the streets like that. And you being a nigger nerd and embracing being a nigger nerd, that wasn't going to be a cover for you. You understand? That wasn't going to be no cover for you. Because, see, there's an old saying from back in the day, you're not supposed to hit a man with glasses. That's an old saying, meaning you're not supposed to hit a nerd. He's already nerdy, so physically he's not up to par, so you're supposed to give him a pass. But no, it don't really work like that. You better be able to back up some of the shit that you say. That's just life. And a lot of dudes, they'll try to tap out with that by playing the nigger nerd role. Well, I'm a nigger nerd, so I ain't about that rah-rah life, so I can say whatever, and you're supposed to leave me alone. And you can get checked. And this goes for everybody. Hell, we all know the story about Biggie Small. Biggie, and God bless Biggie, and God rest the dead, he made a slick comment about E-40. Biggie made a slick comment about E-40 in a magazine, and Biggie came out to the West Coast and they hemmed him up a little bit. You understand? You just, that went for everybody. So there was a forced respect at that time. That was the thing about hip hop. You had to, if you were battling somebody, that's one thing, but off the mic and you talking in magazines and all that, you had to watch what you said. You just couldn't go around disrespecting cats outside of the realm of a battle, because now you're taking it somewhere else. And you would just get checked with that. People would check you on that. But now, you don't have that. You got these cats coming in from other cultures blatantly disrespecting, like that Action Bronson dude when he disrespected Ghost. And Action Bronson completely stole Ghostface Killer's style. Not only did he steal his style, he went out of his way to disrespect him on ESPN. Y'all look that up if you haven't seen it. That's why I don't fuck with Action Bronson. I don't give a fuck about his records, nothing. And Action Bronson tried to move out there and walk around in the streets, and it was an old head who checked him and made him get the fuck up off the block. Papa Wu. Understand, it was an old head that made him get up off the block. Like, no, man, you ain't gonna pop your mouth off and walk around here. No. You're gonna have to bounce. You understand? Which is how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to G-check folks who come in and disrespect the culture. Because understand, a black artist who's in a certain genre that's not typical for a black artist, they can't go in there disrespecting the people. For example, there's a black country singer, Charlie Pride. He's one of the few black country singers. Charlie Pride better not disrespect any white artist for no reason, under no circumstances. He better not even fix his mouth. They'd lynch that nigga. Like black rock artists, they can't go and disrespect Elvis under no circumstances. White people will go off on them. Even black female vocalists, no matter who you are, you can't, as a black female vocalist, you can't say nothing greasy about somebody like Barbara Streisand. No matter how you felt about her, you can't say nothing greasy about her because they would check you on that shit. They hold their icons near and dear. You can't even fix your mouth to say nothing slick about somebody in their culture at all. Elvis was a vulture his damn self. Elvis wasn't all that. Elvis bit every black artist in the 1950s. He bit everybody's shit. You understand? But we got to understand the game. A lot of these nigga nerds out here, like I said, are extensions of white supremacy. And we have to look at how nigga nerds and white supremacist infiltrators come into different cultures that they're not typically really a part of. A lot of these dudes are, I'm talking about the nigga nerds, because a lot of these nigga nerds aren't really about the culture. They try to sit on the sideline and try to critique the culture, and that's another thing. And throw a little salt here, throw a little salt there. And that brings me to something that happened on Ism Radio the other day. Now, on Ism Radio the other day, I had my brother Nipsey Hussle on the show. Shout out to Nipsey Hussle. Great interview. My man came through with his queen, Lauren London. Shout out to Lauren London. Lovely, lovely couple. Love them to life. We had a great conversation, man. People are saying that's one of the best interviews that Nipsey did. And this is other people talking. I'm not thumping my chest, but a lot of people loved the interview that we had because we were talking and chopping up some real game. Two players, two hustlers, two business people really chopping it up, and that was very important for people to see. If you have not seen that interview, you can go to the YouTube channel on Ism Radio. Type that in YouTube and y'all can see the video. I got it up twice. I got two versions of it. One is from a different angle and the quality is a little better. And you can see Lauren better. In the first version, we were talking to Lauren off camera and you couldn't see her. We had two cameramen in the studio at the time. But great conversation. And also me and my man, Nipsey, we're talking about working on this Dr. Sebi documentary together. And people are very hyped about that. Because for years, people have been telling me to do something on Dr. Sebi. You got to do something on Dr. Sebi. And understand this. We've been trying to get Dr. Sebi in the Hidden Colors film for the longest. Before he died, and God bless the dead. That brother died, and I would love to talk about that in the film. We couldn't get him in the film because we kept having scheduling conflicts. Because he travels a lot, so we never got a chance to get him, and I really wanted him in the Hidden Colors series, but it just never panned out. So me and Nipsey, we chopping it up about doing a documentary, working on a documentary together about the AIDS case that he had in the 80s, where he proved that he cured AIDS. And there's a lot of other stuff that we want to talk about in the film, but we're still negotiating and getting all that out. But that's going to be popping if we get that popping. That thing will be huge. But anyway, Nipsey's on the show. We had a great conversation. We're chopping up some real good game. And the DJ, we brought up the DJ Academic thing. Nipsey had a little thing with DJ Academic. And DJ Academic, he's this dude. He's a, well, how can I describe this DJ Academic? I don't really know the dude, but, you know, he has a lot of followers on YouTube, and I think he critiques a lot of stuff in hip hop, and he works for Complex, and you know, he from what I know, and a lot of people call him a fuckboy. I'm not saying that, but a lot of people do. They call him a fuckboy, say he's a nigga nerd. He says little slick shit, and I think that's his whole little angle. His whole angle is kind of making little slick comments on YouTube about folks, and under the guise of critiquing them. And his whole thing is, hey, I'm kind of a nerd, so, you know, I'm supposed to get a pass. I think that's kind of his whole thing. And Nipsey was on the show, and Nipsey had an issue with him. Nipsey went on his show, and Nipsey ended up walking off. He didn't participate on the Complex interview with Academic because, from what I gathered, Academic and all these other folks on Complex, which is white owned. Complex is white owned, by the way. They wanted Nipsey to talk about all these other rappers. They wanted the conversation to be like, what do you think about that 6ix9ine rapper? What do you think about this guy? It was that type of shit. So what they wanted to do with Nipsey, what they were going to do, they were going to get Nipsey to talk about other folks so they can start clickbaiting some of the shit Nipsey said, basically. They'll get Nipsey to talk about that rapper 6ix9ine, and then the headline will be Nipsey Hussle diss 6ix9ine. You know, that's what they were trying to do. And Nipsey saw that and played past that bullshit. He saw it for what it was, and he like, nah, I don't really want to do all that shit. That's not my thing. I want to talk about me, my product, and the Complex people, from what I understand, they wanted him to be on some gossip bullshit. And he's like, nah, I'm cool. And he bounced. That's real G shit right there. That's real G shit right there. Because you don't want niggas to kind of use you for clickbait. That's exactly what they were going to try to do. So the DJ Academic guy, he made a response video, and Nipsey was on my show, and he was talking about dudes who disrespect, you know, the culture. They need their ass whooped. And he was talking hypothetically. We were talking about Academic, but then we started talking about things in a hypothetical sense. Back in the day, if you had little dudes like that instigating sucker shit, people would step to them. They would get their ass whooped. And Nipsey took offense to something that DJ Academic said about 21 Savage. 21 Savage, I think he said he's going to stop rapping about certain things. And I think he's going to be more positive. And I think DJ Academic said something to the effect of, hey, I want him to be rapping about drugs or whatever. And Nipsey said, no, I don't want to fuck with that. Because he's not a part of the culture. This dude is just on the sideline. So he shouldn't really be, you know, really be speaking on some shit that he ain't really a part of. You know, so he had an opinion about the dude. We talked about it for a second, and then we went on to some other shit. We talked about that for a second, and we went on to some other stuff. So the very next day, TMZ, they came out with a headline. Rapper Nipsey Hussle says that DJ Academic should get his ass kicked. Then they had my name all in the story. Nipsey Hussle was on Tariq Nasheed's new hip hop news podcast, and him and Tariq was talking about whooping DJ Academic's ass. I'm like, what? First, who in the fuck is the new hip hop part? What are y'all talking about? What the fuck is the new hip hop news podcast? I don't have no damn hip hop news podcast. Understand, that's not a mistake. I think somebody put a tag on the video. You know, a lot of people get a video and then put a tag on it or put their own little hashtag, new hip hop news or whatever. But any research would show I don't have a fucking podcast called the New Hip Hop News. That was their way of tying my name into hip hop. Hip hop is, to them, is nigga shit, basically. Hip hop, if they love tying people's name with the word hip hop, if they associate your name with the word hip hop, that means nigga shit. They do that for people like Chris Brown. Hip hop artist Chris Brown was just arrested. Hip hop artist Ray J is not a hip hop artist, nor is Chris Brown. They even said that about Suge. Hip hop artist Suge Knight. TMZ, they're very good for that little sucker shit. So I guess they got one of the nigga nerds over at TMZ to write this bullshit ass article. And understand, all the stuff we talked about with Nipsey Hussle on the show, we were talking about business. We were talking about venture capitalism. We were talking about investments. We were talking about real estate incubators. We were talking about tech. We were talking about Bitcoin. We were talking about all types of business. And that's the shit that they want to get. That's the headline. Out of all that, we talked for an hour about all types of business ventures, giving folks advice on negotiating contracts. My man was chopping it up heavy. And what they got is DJ Academics. Nipsey said he should get his ass whooped. You see, the dominant society, they always got to throw salt and dirt on us whenever we talk about building something constructive. Whenever we talk about something as black people in a constructive manner, they have to denigrate it. They have to throw dirt on it, or they have to start straight up targeting you. And that reminds me of something real quick on a side note. There was another, and I remember last week I was on I want to say Ustream, but it's not Ustream. It's right here on YouTube, on my live show on YouTube. I was talking about how it's very interesting. So many influential black people, like black politicians, black lawyers, black public figures, end up getting these damn brain aneurysms and dying. Right after I talked about that, this week, another black politician over in Houston, he died from a brain aneurysm, and this brother was very active in the community over there. I can't think of his name right now. I want to say Kenny something. I can't think of the brother's name. It was another very well-respected grassroots brother doing a lot of good stuff in the community down there in Texas. They found him at home dead with that quote-unquote brain aneurysm thing. I really want to research that brain aneurysm thing. That's not a coincidence. Black folks just falling off because of these damn brain aneurysms. You dig? But like I was talking about my man Nipsey Hussle and the Academics dude. The DJ Academics, from what I understand, because I listened to the dude talk and I can hear an accent, I found out he's Jamaican. And I told y'all about a lot of these Caribbean cats. A lot of these cats who come from these Caribbean families, they come over here and they join Team White Supremacy against our ass. I ain't talking about all of them. I'm not talking about all of them, but I told y'all, I keep warning y'all, you look at certain black quote-unquote people who are propped up by the media. You look at all these gossip sites. Most of them are ran by Caribbean or African immigrants who have zero camaraderie with black American society. This is why they have no problem denigrating it and promoting bullshit. They have no problem doing that. You understand? So this DJ Academic dude, I guess he said, look, shit, I'm kind of a nigga nerd, so I should be able to say what the hell I want to say. And nobody should do anything to me. And I'm not saying that anybody should do anything to the brother. I ain't saying that. And Nipsey didn't say that either. We were just talking about how things usually operate when people start talking on stuff in a very disrespectful manner and they're not really a part of the culture. because you have white supremacist vultures and you have nigger nerd vultures too, who are just as bad. See, I call them on the porch niggas. Because see, back in the day, and I talked about this before the internet, if you were a nigger nerd, you had to put yourself in protective custody around your mom. The nigger nerds, at best, they would talk shit on the phone or on the porch. But you couldn't really walk around the block if you were a goofball nigger nerd fuckboy. Now, and there's nothing wrong with being a nerd, but the thing is, a lot of nigger nerds morphed into fuckboys. And you couldn't move and operate as a fuckboy, because nothing wrong with a nerd. So just because you're and a nerd, you know, that definition, it goes all over the place. A lot of people usually assume that a nerd is smart, and there's a lot of dumbass nerds out here who can't put two and two together. But the thing is, back in the day, if you wanted to be on some nigga nerd fuckboy shit, you had to talk greasy from the porch. And a lot of these dudes, you were enabled by your mothers. You understand? A lot of the nigga nerds, they had mothers who enabled that. Because see, back in the day, you had two types of mothers. You had the kind of mother that told her son, hey, baby, they better not mess with you. You come on in the house with me, baby. Those boys out there picking on you, you just stay here next to me. I'm going to drive you to school and walk you to the front door so they won't bother you. You stay in the house. Don't you go out there. You stay right here with me. You had that type of mother, and that enabled many nigga nerds. And you had the other type of mother who said, hey, if those boys are picking with you, get your ass out there in the street and you handle that. If them boys are out there bothering you, you getting bullied, you go face them like a fucking man. That's what my mom told me. You understand? I had that kind of mother and grandma. If they bullying you, you get out there and you start whooping ass. Don't run up in this house from them niggas in the streets. I had that kind of mom, right? You couldn't run from niggas out there in the streets hiding up under your mama. No, not my fucking mom and a lot of other moms and dads and simp ass dads who enable these bitch niggas too. You understand? But I that wasn't an option for me, running from no nigga. If they found out you ran from niggas, no, they gave you an option. You run from him, you're going to get an ass whooping up in this house. You're going to get two ass whoopings. Don't run up in here running from niggas your age. Hell, even if it's five of them, take on all five. Get a stick and start whooping all their ass or catch them one by one. I saw that on World Star. This brother got jumped. That was on World Star this week. It was his brother who got jumped. I forgot what city he was in. And then he took a video camera and went to every dude who jumped him one by one and caught a fade with him. That's how you do. That's how you get down. But a lot of these old protective custody ass nigger nerds from back in the day on that fuckboy shit, you had to put yourself in solitary confinement. You couldn't roll out here. You had to become an honorary woman to a certain degree. You had to be up under your mom. And your whole thing is, well, I'm a nerd, so ain't nobody supposed to hit me, which basically you're saying I'm a woman and ain't nobody supposed to do nothing to me. That's why a lot of these niggas be on the internet popping off at the mouth, and when you catch them in the streets, are you serious? You stole me! You know, it sound like bitches when you catch them in the streets. You understand? So we got to get this generation to understand how fuckboyism ain't the business. Letting vultures into our society, that's not the business either. Letting people come around us disrespecting what we create, that's not the business. That's one of the reasons why we got the R&B project going on. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do a straight up R&B old school funk project. like the Mink Slide Project, because you have, when you talk R&B, R&B right now is Adele, Justin Timberlake, Sam Smith, and Justin Bieber. That's R&B right now, family. That's the international face of R&B. If we're going to be very honest, right now, that has become the international face of R&B. Robin Thicke, that's the international face of R&B. Because what they do a version of the old school 80s and 90s style R&B. While we up here, a lot of black artists are mumble singing. They ain't even singing. A lot of niggas are mumble singing. You understand? And Bruno Mars, and I like Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars is really the only true one doing it that I can give a pass to because he has Negroid in him. So I give him a pass on that. But you got these little disrespectful bastards like Justin Timberlake who don't really respect the culture because he don't respect the artist. He's always saying something slick or doing something slick to the iconic black artist. See, I don't give Justin Timberlake a pass. And a lot of people felt a certain way with that whole Prince tribute thing when Prince didn't fuck with him. That's why I like people like Prince. Prince was a real one. Prince, I don't fuck with him. And Michael Jackson would not have fucked with Justin Timberlake too after the thing that went down with Michael's sister Janet at the Super Bowl. Justin left Janet out there hanging and he disrespected her, and now Michael done died and they put Justin Timberlake all on the track with Michael after Michael died. That's disrespectful, man. That's disrespectful. Prince did not like no damn Justin. And don't let me get on Justin Bieber with his little old racist white supremacist ass. He gets around his little friends and starts spewing nigga every chance he get, and black folks still give this little asshole a pass. I don't give passes to white supremacists like that. Especially the little vultures like him. This is why, family, we got to take control of our culture. We got to take control of it. We got to control the direction. We got to control the narrative of it. We do stuff and then we abandon it. And when we abandon it, other people pick up on it and then claim it as their own. See, we gotta circle our wagons around certain things that we create. This is like we're bringing that whole funk thing back to black hands, like where it should be. And there's white artists out there who respect the game, and I like what they got going on, like Tuxedo and people like that. They're good. But understand, you have black groups out here who've been maintaining the funk for a long time. My man Dame Funk, he's been putting out funk records for years, and he's underground. Dame Funk, he played on our stuff, on some of the Mink Slide stuff. There's another group out of Atlanta, this husband and wife group, the APX, man. They do some of that old school 80s funk, and they're underground. See, I want to bring these folks to the surface. There's people out here, we're still trying to hold up that old school funk that we created because that's global. People fuck with that globally. And a lot of us, especially this new generation, we'll walk away from some of that old school shit and let other people claim it and capitalize off of it for all over the world. And we got to get up on that. We got to stay in control of that heavy. That's why, look, the single goes on pre-sale tomorrow. It's Time by Mink Slide. Y'all get that single. It's $1. Pre-order that single tomorrow. We're going to send a message. We're going to take the funk back. You understand? And the Mink Slide Project, we are not only paying homage to the 80s and 90s, I'm making the record sound like it was actually made in the 80s. That's why a lot of people, when they hear the record, man, that sounds like something from 87. Yeah, that's what we are trying to do. Some people are saying, you could have got somebody to get somebody to rap on the remix. Nah, I can get a whole bunch of folks, all the top rappers in the game, to rap on it. But that's the whole thing the whole vibe. When you hear the Mink Slide record, I want you to feel like you're in the 80s or 90s. I want you to feel like you're in the 80s or 90s. And that's the whole image. Image is everything. We're going back to that image where male R&B singers were on some player shit. That's what we're going back. That's why in the video, we clowning. I got on a big fur coat on some player shit, on my Orange Juice Jones shit. For those who remember that, in the 80s, you had these players. You had Morris Day on some player shit. You had Alexander O'Neal on some player shit. Colonel Abrams. These were some grown men on some player shit. That's the vibe that we're going back to. That's what the Mink Slide thing is. You coming in the club, you macking up on women on some player shit. Because if you look at R&B now, I saw an R&B, you see niggas taking milk baths and niggas eating granola bars on a bed of roses. It's real moist shit that's supposed to be R&B now. I'm not shitting on them. But I like that old school shit, that old player thing, man. I like it. Shout out to Charlie Wilson. That's my dude. Shout out to Charlie. That's my dude, Colonel Abrams. Trap, what y'all know about Colonel Abrams? Y'all saw that I had the Colonel Abrams vibe in the video. And he's from Detroit, too. I was born in Detroit. And I think Colonel Abrams died, by the way. But he was that was a player. Macho niggas. You dig? That's what we going back to. The R&B now, niggas be sitting up with some skinny jeans. In the video, they be in an hourglass with sand. Getting all in their chest hair. It'd be all types of moist fucking shit in videos now. Niggas be rubbing themselves in video. What the? No, man. We going back to some old school player shit. Yeah, you come up in the club with your players and start macking on the ladies. Shit. Hell yeah. I came up in there like Jerome's in the house. That's what we going for. And that's who I'm influenced by. Yeah. A lot of people say there's some Alexander O'Neal influences there. Yes, it is. Absolutely. But, man, I shout out to everybody who fuck with that Mink Slide video. And, again, go to YouTube if you're listening. Go to YouTube, type in Mink Slide, It's Time. That's our music video. We had a blast doing the video. We're going to do another video for another single off the album in a couple of weeks. The name of the album is Egyptian Musk. That's the name of the album. We're working on the Egyptian Musk album. You got to be old school to even know what Egyptian Musk is, by the way. That's how 80s and 90s we're going. Everything about it is going to be on some 80s, 90s shit. And we're going to do another video out here in LA pretty soon. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here, family. I'm doing the vegan thing. I'm doing the vegan thing. Me and my lovely queen, we're doing the vegan thing. Yes, nigga, the album is called Egyptian Musk. Dude, we taking y'all back. We taking y'all all the way back, man. Man. I'm hungry as fuck, man. I'm hungry as hell. I've been doing the vegan thing. Man, let me tell y'all about it. I'm trying to do the 30-day vegan challenge. Me and Peanut, we're trying to go vegan for 30 days at least. And, you know, all the vegans be like, oh, man, it's a wonderful thing. It's good. I mean, it's cool. You know, I feel better. You know, I got energy, whatever. But I'm hungry than I'm. That vegan food, man, don't stay in you for nothing. And the thing is, I'm on the go a lot, so you don't have a chance to grab no nothing quick. That's the thing. You got to go to a vegan restaurant and you got, see, that's my issue. And I'm hungry than a motherfucker because I'm running around and there's no vegan Burger King or whatever. And certain places might have vegan burgers or whatever, but you don't know where they are. And you know, there's only certain places. It's hit or miss with the vegan food. Like, there was a sister in Milwaukee who made me some vegan tacos. The sister named Rain. Beautiful sister in Milwaukee. I did a lecture out there. Them shits was delicious. So vegan food is hit or miss. Certain people make it better than others. Me and Peanut, we went to a place today. That shit was horrible. And I took pictures of it and put it on Instagram. And the food, look, shout out to Bandito Washington for putting something on the Melanoid Ministries. The food looked good on camera. You know, you take a picture of it. but the taste was bland as hell. I had some of those cauliflower, quote unquote, buffalo wings. That wasn't bad. It was all right. Then I had some taco. I think they had jackfruit tacos. It looked better than it tastes. It looked better than it tastes. It did not taste all that. It was bland as shit. Just didn't have no taste. The cauliflower wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. But a lot of these folks, they be making shit and it just don't have no taste. And, you know, you it's make-believe food. You got to walk around living a damn lie. It's make-believe. You got to make-believe you're eating a burger. You got to make-believe you're eating some buffalo wings. You got to make-believe you're eating a real taco. It's make-believe. God damn. I'm about to make-believe I'm eating a bologna sandwich and fry one up. Shit, I'm starving. So Peanut made something. I'm about to see what she made. And Peanut be sneaking food like a motherfucker. On the low. Like, I don't know. She be sneaking the kids' food. She be in there low-key eating Lunchables and shit. But I'm going to try to do this whole thing. Now, I might be going to Miami at the end of the month. And if I go to Miami, ain't going to be no fucking vegan. I ain't about to go to Miami and all them Cuban spots and Jamaican spots. I ain't about to go up in a Jamaican spot and eat no fucking vegetables with some jerk chicken right there in my face. So if I go to Miami at the end of the month, we're doing some location scouting for a new movie that I'm working on. I'm eating me some damn jerk chicken. I'm getting it in. But I'm trying the thing. I'm trying it. I'm going to have to hit up some spots out here in LA, some black spots, black owned spots, where people are saying that the vegan food is actually good, because the shit I went to in Pasadena actually was horrible. It was just tasteless as hell. You dig? Somebody said I'm shitting pellets, man. I'm taking rabbit shits, man. I'm horrible right now. All right, but anyway, let me get up out of here, man. Look, go to minkslide.com. don't forget, get the Mink Slide single. It's time. Get that tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Or pre-order it on iTunes. And it's going to be on Tidal and Spotify and all that on the 20th. All right? It's going to be on Tidal, Spotify, all that. Spin it, play it like crazy. All that good stuff. But again, whatever you do, still go get the single. Hold on. This is the single right here. Hold on, this is the single. For those who haven't seen it or heard it. All right, for those who haven't heard it, this is it. That's it. All right, that's Mink Slide. It's time. Banging. All right. I'm going to holler at you guys, man. Y'all be good.